from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Thursday, May 25th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how a new exhibit at the Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois is displaying work by Indigenous artists and focusing on portraying modern culture. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Budget talks in Springfield are delayed once again, despite the governor and top legislative leaders announcing an agreement for a state spending plan. Cameron Cuccinello has more.
Senate President Don Harmon said during a joint press conference yesterday afternoon that he was hopeful the Senate would pass the budget before midnight. The Senate did not meet that goal. Harmon said last night that the reason the spending plan didn't get a vote was because ultimately there wasn't consensus among lawmakers in both chambers. He said the Senate would not take action until House members agreed to the more than 3,000-page budget. Harmon said the Senate will hear public testimony on the plan before calling it for an expected vote in the chamber today. The House will then vote on the measure, but a final vote won't come until Saturday. I'm Cameron Cuccinello.
This summer, a state commission is set to release recommendations on a funding formula for public universities. Illinois has never had one. Lisa Phillips reports.
Experts say the lack of a formula has led to volatility and unevenness in financial support for Illinois' diverse public universities. A report from the Partnership for College Completion calls on the state to begin funding the campuses adequately and equitably. Xiaodan Hu is a professor at Northern Illinois University and a report co-author.
It's really difficult for Illinois resident students to equally access Illinois public university, pay for it, without accruing a tremendous amount of student loan debt.
Hu says this is especially true at regional public universities that serve many of the state's students of color and students from low-income households. Lisa Phillips.
A dust storm earlier this month that was caused by a combination of dry topsoil and farm activity highlights the need to protect against soil erosion. Karen Perry Stillerman with the Union of Concerned Scientists says keeping soil in place is critical, not only to public safety, but to the future of farming.
The public policies that guide it need to change to adapt to keep soil covered. Soil, it's not just dirt, it's the foundation of agriculture and our food system, and we're not protecting it.
Perry Stillerman says farmers need to be incentivized to implement soil protection strategies like planting cover crops and practicing crop rotation. She says federal subsidies should be offered to help cover the upfront costs. Governor J.B. Pritzker's signature is the only thing standing in the way of an abortion bill becoming law. The bill prevents agencies from using deceptive anti-abortion measures. Angie Leventis Lorgos is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. She told the 21st show how these measures impact patients.
The public policies that guide it need to change to adapt to keep soil covered. Soil, it's not just dirt, it's the foundation of agriculture and our food system, and we're not protecting it.
She says they feel this way because agencies attempt to persuade and spread false or inflammatory information to delay care. The bill would make it possible to apply a pre-existing law, the Consumer Fraud and Deceptive Business Practices Act, to this abortion issue. The Immigrant Impact Task Force is a statewide effort to review and suggest methods that could help immigrants in Illinois. They recently released a list of recommendations. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has more.
They include increasing the recruitment and hiring of bilingual staff across state agencies and continuing to require anti-immigrant bias training for state employees. Ruth Lopez-McCarthy is a senior immigration fellow at the Illinois Department of Human Services and is working with the task force.
So right now we're really in this dissemination component, and then we'll move on to those next steps of the implementation and of working with the different agencies in the governor's office to see what comes next.
Lopez McCarthy hopes the report will help people gain a better understanding of the importance of being a welcoming state for immigrants. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll hear a conversation about the work of Indigenous artists being displayed in a new exhibit at the Spurlock Museum. That story is next on 217 Today.
In season one of the British mystery series Before We Die, Detective Inspector Hannah Lang and crime matriarch Dubravka Mimica both lived through traumatic losses of their own. In season two, Dubravka takes revenge while Hannah continues her work to take down Mimica's criminal enterprise. This series is packed with high stakes and unexpected twists. Learn how you can watch this and other international mysteries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Many museums are grappling with the ways they have long portrayed Native Americans. The Denver Museum of Nature and Science said they are taking down one of their exhibits because it reinforces harmful stereotypes. A new exhibit at the Spurlock Museum at the University of Illinois answers that problem. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, Welcome to the Powwow was curated by Indigenous artists and focuses on modern culture.
The exhibit is set up like a mini powwow. There's a vendor's table, a circle of drummers wearing jeans, and mannequins in colorful regalia. And on one wall, there are six paintings of dancers commissioned for the exhibit.
It was a Wednesday afternoon, they gave me a call. And I had the pieces done on a Friday afternoon, everything. All six pieces were done.
That's Josh Achenham. He's Plains Cree and grew up in Canada. He now lives in Wisconsin. The Spurlock isn't the first museum to acquire his artwork, but he's still getting used to the recognition.
I work quick simply because it took me a long time to get to the point where people actually wait for my artwork. So I don't like people waiting. So I have to work every single day.
In addition to painting and graphic design, Achenham dances, does leather work, and is building a pin business.
I'll do two or three drawings every single day, sometimes more. And then with the leather work, I have to do a belt every single day, so I'm mixing my leather crafts with the ledgers, with the hat and pin business that we're doing, so like a t-shirt business, so I kind of put everything together in one day.
For the exhibit, he focused on ledger art.
Ledgers are the old papers that were being left behind. So a long time ago, traditionally, you would have our stories were written on, buffalo robes, or on our teepees. You can see whose families were who, or what they've been through. Some people would hang up scalp locks on their teepees and things like that. And then we'd also draw on the caves, things like that. So you'll see our artwork everywhere. And it wasn't until the government started coming onto our lands and battling with our people, they would leave behind these war records or different documents they would leave behind. And our people would pick those up and would draw a story or try to capture what just took place. There was no actual history of why they did that, but the oral history of that's been passed down through all these 180, 200 years was a way for them to keep track of their history. So this took place, so if anything happened to their tribe, people come see this ledger or thing that they did, or not just on a ledger, but anywhere else where they might have drew something, and they would be able to know what just happened or what took place.
Achenham says Spokane artist George Flett revived the art form in the 1970s and 80s. A chance encounter sparked his interest when Flett drew his brother.
And I was a young kid, I must have been 7 years old. So that piece really inspired me to draw this. So I started drawing figures with no faces, but I didn't know why. And I just kind of kept on doing it just because it was enjoyable for me. And traveling again with my parents, with my brothers when we were young, I would see more and more ledger art, and it was just always seeing it, and I'm always fascinated by it, even till to this day.
Over time, he has developed his own style.
I like to mix my medium, so I like to use brush markers and archival ink and acrylic and gold leaf, and I like to play with different tools. I don't just try to stick to this is what ledger art was. We're drawing with pencil crayons, and I'm going to draw with that solely. It's I'm going to dabble with all these different art pieces.
Josh Achenham is a Plains Cree artist. He created six pieces of ledger art for the new Welcome to the Powwow exhibit at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. It showcases modern Indigenous culture and was curated by Native American artists. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
To see photos of the exhibit and learn more about how it came to be, visit illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 74 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Cameron Cutinello, Lisa Phillip, Sarah Nardi, May Antar, Luis Velasquez, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.